Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, I'm going to be reading verse 25 and, well, we'll start at 25 and I'll see where it winds up. Exodus 32 verse 25 says, "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate, from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." All right, you'll remember the story, perhaps you've read it, where Moses is up in the mount, and he's there a long time. I think like 40 days or so, and he'd gone up there in the mount to, and there was all kinds of stuff going on up in the mountain. And he had already received the Ten Commandments, They'd already explained them in chapter 20 of Exodus, and so, you know, they knew what they were supposed to do, but Moses was gone for so long that the people started getting anxious, and they said, "Now what are we going to do?" And somehow, I guess that kind of impatience, they said, "Well, let's make our own gods." So they talked to Aaron, and Aaron says, "Yeah, bring me all your gold earrings and stuff." And they put it into, you know, the Bible says Aaron fashioned a calf, a molten calf out of it. And then it says he graved it with his hands and he turned it into a nice ornate idol. And then the people started having a party because he says, "These are the gods that brought you out of." Now, I know that sounds really stupid. And I guarantee you that some of the things you think sound real stupid to God and to other people and other places. But for us right now, we think about that and we think that's really stupid. And that's where when Moses says, "Why in the world would you do that?" And he says, "Look, all I did, they brought me the gold. I threw it into the fire and out came this calf." It's amazing how people don't want to own up to their own decisions, right? "Oh, my, out came this calf. What was I supposed to do? You know, wow." All right. The issue was idolatry, and God, even up in the mount, had told Moses, "They've already corrupted themselves. I told them not to make idols, and they've already done it. Now you get back down there because I'm going to wipe them out." And Moses talks to God and says, "Oh God, you can't do that. We got to figure something out." And so when Moses sees, after he'd already destroyed the idol, he'd destroyed the idol, it's gone, he'd made them drink it, and he's still upset at them. And the next day or so, I don't know when it happened exactly, but he shows up there again trying to figure out what to do about this people, and they're naked. They're still having their party. I'm not sure what they were doing. Hey, by the way, nakedness is a shame. Yeah. You ought to be ashamed if you're naked. Yeah, even if you're a young woman, very pretty, you ought to be ashamed if you're naked. You just ought to be ashamed. That's just the way God made us. He made us to know that we're not like animals. We're made in His image, and we ought to know the difference. So anyway, Moses sees these people and they're naked, and he says, "All right, we got to do something here." And so he makes that statement, and this is what I'm going to preach on this morning. He makes the statement, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And it's interesting to me that the sons of Levi came. All of Levi, that tribe of Levi, came over and stood by Moses. He said, "Come on over. If you're on the Lord's side, come on over here." And by the way, God is going to be doing some separating in the future. Amen. You might ought to make sure you're on the right side, because there's going to be a big separation coming, which all the ones that are on God's side are going to be really clearly separated. And the ones that are sort of half and half, sort of undecided, sort of half-hearted, sort of lukewarm, they're going to be in the crowd. And then God's going to drop judgment. And I want you to notice that God does do some judging here. God told him to go in there and kill. And these Levites went in there with swords. and went and killed a whole bunch. It says like 3,000 people got killed that day because the Levites were executing a judgment of God against the horrible attitude or the horrible sinfulness that this people had showed in creating a calf and dancing naked in front of it and still dancing after the calf had been destroyed. All right, we know this is a serious sin. Idolatry is a serious sin. I just want to point out something here when it comes to what God says here, Moses says here, who is on the Lord's side? Get over here by me. And I think that God is actually saying the same thing to us right in here. Whoever's on the Lord's side, come over here with me. Separate yourselves, get away from that group, and come and be with me. Stand on my side. Be on the right side of this thing that's going down here. Make sure you get yourself separated away from the people that are doing the wrong thing. Who is on the Lord's side? Some observations may be very obvious to you, maybe not. But one way or the other, some observations can be a little bit surprising to people. And that's beside the idea that God does actually do some judging and actually wipes out a lot of people. And people are going to cry and say, that's not fair, that's not right. And by the way, judgment is squeamish. It's rough to be judgmental. It's rough to cause judgment to happen. It's rough to pull the hammer on a death sentence. Even though you know he's guilty and he did the wrong thing, it's tough to do that because judgment is hard. I get it, and God was willing to do it. But there's some other observations about this thing where he says, who is on the Lord's side? How about number one, the Lord has a side.
Amen.
You realize that some people think that God is sort of undecided. That God is sort of nebulous, you know, sort of indifferent, sort of apathetic, sort of like live and let live, let people be the way they want. In fact, people can just sort of make up their own God however they like him, and God's sort of okay with that. A lot of people have the idea that God is just okay with stuff. But the Bible says God has a side. In fact, the Bible says God is judgmental.
Amen.
Now, I know you don't like judgmental preachers, right? Oh, we don't like people always preaching at us, telling us what we're doing wrong. Everything's wrong. You know, them preachers over there, they're always telling us what we're doing wrong. They're always preaching on this. They're always preaching on that. I'm just tired of it. I don't want to be so judgmental. How about God? God's judgmental. Have you ever noticed that preachers have a tendency to be opinionated? They're opinionated. But I got news for you. God's opinionated.
Amen.
God's got an opinion. It never crossed your mind that God might have an opinion about the things that you're doing?
Amen.
God's got some opinions. God's got some ideas. God has got a side. God has already made some decisions. God's not sort of indifferent. God is not undecided. God is not indecisive. God is not wishy-washy. God has a side. Some things God is for, and some things God is against. Did you know that if you're going to be on God's side, you're going to have to be against some stuff. And for some stuff. And if you don't want to ever rock the boat, and you don't ever want to cause waves, you don't ever want to cause a problem, well then, you're just not going to be on God's side. God is pretty rough on people who don't agree with him. God always is telling you, hey, who's on my side? Who's going to be? Hey, did you ever cross your mind? You need to agree with God.
Amen.
And a lot of times it's not easy to agree with God. A lot of times it's not going to be easy for you to say, God is right. The things that I love, God doesn't like. And the things that I hate, God loves. I've had people say, oh, I can't stand church. Well, you ain't going to like heaven then. Boy, you're not going to like heaven. Because church, you know, they praise God. Oh, but it's full of hypocrites. Yeah, it is. You're right. Not like there's no hypocrites outside of church, right? Anyway, okay. All right, God is opinionated. God has a side. He's not indifferent. We got that? It's not terribly surprising because it's very clear in the Bible. God has made up his mind. He has already got a side. He's already made some decisions. He says, get onto my side. Now, there's another point that ought to be made, and that is that God has clearly declared his side. And I'm just going to give you a clue. It's the Bible.
Amen.
You realize there are some people who think God has to reprove the Bible all over again personally for them right now. Or they say, well, I can't believe the Bible. Why? Well, because it hasn't been proven to me. Like somebody says, I'll believe in God if he ever shows himself to me. You mean he could never show, you know, well, let's say he did show himself to you. What about your neighbor across the street? Does he have to show himself to him too? Or would it be good enough for you to go tell your neighbor that God showed himself to you? Wouldn't that be good enough? Does God have to show himself personally to every single person on earth? Can't he have eyewitnesses to say, hey, we saw him? And somebody have to believe? You realize in court they're having to do that all the time. They've got to use eyewitnesses. Everybody can't be a witness. Everybody can't be a witness. Sooner or later, you're going to have to evaluate the witnesses and make a decision whether they're guilty or not based on eyewitness testimony. And that's all God is trying to tell you to do here. He's got a book, and it's eyewitness testimony. Evaluate it, read it, and find out. And I'll let you know God has proved it over and over again in the generation that it was written, then in the generations following, and even to this day, if you study it out and look it up, and you'll find out they're telling the truth. They're telling the truth. It is a provable, beyond a reasonable doubt, claim. Now, what I'm saying this here for is so that you'll understand that God has already declared his side, and his side is the Bible.
That's right.
But some people don't like the Bible. You know that the Bible is old-fashioned?
Yeah.
Sort of antiquated. It's archaic. It's hard to understand. It requires effort. It actually requires reading. Or if you don't know how to read, it requires you to listen to it being read. That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you something else. This side is not ambiguous. It's not like God wasn't really clear. That doesn't mean everything in the Bible is already understood or understandable. There are some things in the Bible difficult to understand. However, the things you do understand are not ambiguous. He didn't say, adultery is wrong sometimes. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. He didn't say, lying is wrong sometimes. He says, speak the truth every man to his neighbor. That's what he says. He says not to do these things. He didn't say idolatry has certain exceptions where they're wrong and other exceptions where they're right. He says don't make any graven image for any reason ever and never bow down to them and never honor them. That's what he said in his Ten Commandments. He's not given to half-hearted statements. He makes really clear what he demands. Now, what he said in the Ten Commandments was, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them, and thou shalt not honor them or serve them. And he says in other places, you're not even supposed to have a painted rock to bow down to it. Leviticus chapter 26. All right. I'll tell you something else he said. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, he said, when I appeared to you in the cloud, I was very careful to not have any shape in that cloud. Why? He says, because I knew if I had made any shape in that cloud, you would have made an image of that shape and you would have bowed down to it.
Amen.
So I made sure I made no shape in the cloud. It was just a cloud. It wasn't one of those clouds, you know, you could look at with your imagination and say, oh, that reminds me of a sheep. I know you do that. But God says, no, this one's going to be absolutely impossible to imagine anything with. I don't want anybody making an image that seems like me. And the reason why? I don't want no images. Did you know a whole lot of people use images in worship?
Right.
Yep. Ever cross your mind that maybe God has a side? I've had many arguments with people who use images, have them around their neck. And they say, oh, well, but this means to me whatever, blah, blah, blah. And there I'm reading that second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, thou shalt not bow down to them. Well, yeah, but that's talking about those other bad images. This one's a good one. And they'll tell you, your image is okay if you'll take it to the priest and have it blessed. $200. They'll bless it for $200. God's not ambiguous. God made some decisions. He said, don't do this and do this. Make sure you are on my side, he said. You reckon God has an opinion about images?
Amen.
You reckon God has a side about idolatry? I think he does. I think he made it real clear. He's not ambiguous. It's written in the Bible. And if you decide you don't like what the Bible says, well, then you have just made your choice. You decided not to get on God's side. You think God might have an opinion about fornication?
Amen.
You think God might have an opinion about homosexuality?
Amen.
You think God might have an opinion about marriage? You think God might have an opinion about abortion? You think maybe God might... Well, you know, he does. He has it right there in the Bible. You think God might have an opinion about fashion?
Amen.
The stuff you wear? Hey, you think God might have an opinion about long hair on men?
Yes.
I got one yes out of that. That's real good. Thank you, Randy. He just got a haircut. That's why. You got two amens. All right, good. I'm glad. I'm moving up. Man, this is good. I think God has an opinion about the idolization of celebrities.
Amen.
I think God has an opinion about the Texas lottery.
Amen.
You're getting better. Come on, you're getting better. Come on, bring it on. Bring it. Hey, listen. God has an opinion about covetousness. God has an awful lot of opinions. And you know what the problem people have is they're not on God's side. They're just disagreeing with God. You see, because God will say something about covetousness and they'll say, well, yeah, I'm not that, but I like the lottery. I want that. I want millions and billions of dollars that I didn't earn. Yeah, I want that. Well, you see, well, you say, well, I just don't believe these preachers have a right to be preaching their opinions behind the pulpit. Well, what about God? How about, can God write something down in the Bible and you actually pay attention to it and say, God is right? Wow, it's amazing. God has an opinion about the theory of evolution.
Amen.
God has an opinion about communism. Wow, it's true. It's true that God is a very opinionated person, and he's telling you, hey, get on my side, will you? Get on my side. Okay. God is not given to compromise or negotiation. He says to people who want to negotiate with him, he says, where were you when I created everything? I sure could have used a real bright guy like you to help me out. Where were you when I invented sex? You think you know more about it than me? Where were you when I invented family? Where were you when I invented the heavens? Where were you when I came up with the whole idea? I came up with it all. And I am not given to let some guy wet behind the ears tell me how it ought to be done.
Right.
God, he's got a side. He's got an opinion. He's got a doctrine. He's got a belief. He wrote it all out. He translated it into our language. You got it in your language.
You,
don't let anybody change it for you.
Amen.
Don't let anybody change it. God's already given it to you. It's already been taken care of. It's a clear truth. And all you got to do is just believe what he says and get on his side. Get with the program. Say, I'm on God's side, and I repent of every time I was against God on this.
Amen.
It's just a matter of accepting God's Bible, God's word, and saying, I am going to be on God's side no matter where it lands. Whether it's abortion, whether it's marriage, or whether how you think you were born. Maybe you think you were born a boy, but you're really inside, or a girl. You got to be on God's side. You just got to make up your mind. You got to decide who's on God's side. Let me give you something else. God's side is right. God's side is right. God's side is good. God's side is good for you. Man's ideas, not so good.
Right.
Communism, how's that worked out? 70 million people. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. 25 million people killed outright by the Cultural Revolution by Mao Zedong in China. 25 million people killed because they couldn't be reformed. Millions more put in prisons, concentration camps, including people like Watchman Nee, who wound up dying there after he had finished his sentence. They didn't want to release him, so they killed him. I don't have any proof of that, but it's pretty clear. He was healthy, and they didn't want him to get out. All of a sudden, he started getting sick, and then he died. That's very, very convenient. Something similar happened in North Korea. Yeah? Hey, these things happen. But this is communism. Communism takes over, and 25 million people have to just be eliminated because they're just standing in the way. A whole lot of them Christians. But then they decide to take away all the farms and give the farms to the government. So now the government's going to run the farms. You think the government can do a better job of running farms than you?
No.
Surely cannot. God's got an opinion about communism, by the way. 70 million people died in the famine that lasted 5 years after that. 70 million people in China. And you know why it never got on the news? Because China covered it up. You think God has an opinion about communism? I know you think, oh, that Vietnam War was a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing. We should have never got into it, whatever. They were fighting communism.
Amen.
Hey, wake up, wake up. Man, you don't have to keep your head in the sand all your life. The Bible says God's against some things. And when people are fighting for God's side, sometimes it's going to cost you something. Sometimes it's going to be rough. But God still has a side. You got to choose. Maybe you can't win this battle. I'm not sure, but you ought to be on God's side.
Amen.
Wow. And that's only China. I haven't even talked about Pol Pot. I haven't talked about Ho Chi Minh. I haven't even talked about Cuba's. All of those places that took over with communism, took over, caused untold suffering and misery, and a lot of them are still suffering today. Oh yeah, God's got an opinion about these things. And God says, don't do it that way. And you say, well, I just think we can steal from the rich because they're rich and they shouldn't have more than us. And God says, don't be so covetous. And you say, well, I think it's right that we can do this. And they come up with all kinds of really rationalizations, really good thinking, you know, ways to figure it out, how I can take away from the rich and not be doing anything wrong. And then millions of people die, and you'll have to come back and say, God was right.
That's right.
There's an awful lot of envy going on in the United States right now, saying these rich people, they shouldn't be having so much. What about God? What side is he on? Don't you be coveting rich people's wealth. The Bible says, be not envious of the wicked. Don't desire their dainty meats. All right. There you go. God's side is right. God's side is good. God's side is best. God's side is wholesome. God's side will do you good. You get on God's side, it's going to do you good. Well, you know, it might cause you some persecution. So maybe you might suffer a little bit. You might even go to prison. You might even be killed. But it's going to do you good. It's going to do you good. God's side is right. Okay, that's another one. I got another one for you. This is a good one. God's side is going to win.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter. God says, you know, if all the nations gather against me, it's like a drop in a bucket. It's nothing. I'm not impressed by all the armies of the world. And by the way, all the armies of the world are going to gather against God and his anointed. They're all going to gather and they're all going to be angry and God's going to destroy them.
Amen.
It's not difficult for God to handle you. It's not difficult for God to handle the government. It's not difficult for God to handle all the governments of the world together against him. You know what the Bible says about that? He says, God shall laugh. He shall have all of them in derision. It's going to tickle him. When everybody gets together and they're raging, and it's going to get God tickled, and he's going to start laughing. I know about that. That happens sometimes. Somebody gets so mad. When I married Debbie, she would get really angry at me. But she's so harmless. But she'd see, oh, so angry. She said, you don't do that. You can't do it. And I'd start laughing. I'd start getting kicked. And that would make her even angrier. And the angrier she got, the more I'd laugh until I'm hurting. I say, please stop. Please stop. I'll do whatever you want. Just don't threaten me anymore. She's just too harmless. It was no danger. Well, that's God. He just gets tickled when people get angry at him. It's interesting that somebody can be so angry at God and say, you know, that I'm going to disagree with God. Have you ever seen these young men that say, I'm not afraid of God?
Yeah.
I'm ready to meet God. I got a few questions for God. Well, I got news for you. God is not intimidated by you. And God is going to win this war. Even if it looks bad right now, and in some areas of the world, it looks pretty bad for Christians right now, including the United States, including Europe, including Canada, and including and it also looks pretty bad for Christians in China. It looks pretty bad for Christians in Nigeria, and it looks pretty bad for Christians in Myanmar, and it looks pretty bad for Christians in India. It looks pretty bad. They're getting wiped out. They're getting killed. How about the Middle East? Pretty bad for Christians in the Middle East. They're being wiped out, just destroyed. Huh, it looks pretty bad, but I got news for you. God's going to win this war. Amen. The best thing you can do is to get on God's side. You just get on God's side. Say, I don't care what he says, I'm getting on God's side. I don't care how bad it looks, I'm getting on God's side. All right. There's another point here that he makes, and that is that God is inviting you to come on his side.
Amen.
Now, you shouldn't scoff at that. That's not small news. There's an awful lot of people in the world that don't ever get a practical choice. A lot of people in the world don't ever get a... No preacher stands in front of them and says, this is God's side, and this is your side, and you have an opportunity to switch sides. Come on over. A whole lot of people in the world live, work, have kids, have grandkids, die, and never have been presented that choice. I know that doesn't sound fair, but I'm not here to justify God right now. What I'm telling you right now is a lot of people don't have that choice, but you do.
Amen.
You got the choice. God says, come on. How did he say it on here? Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You see the invitation there? Hey, he didn't say only you people that I approve of. He said, who? Who? The Bible says how many times? Whosoever.
Right.
That's a big word that's very important in the Bible. Said over and over and over that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life and not come into condemnation. Wow! Isn't that an amazing thing that God is inviting you? Come on over to my side. God doesn't have to. God could just say, okay, you're against me. You're gone. Just wiped out. Not even a difficulty for him. Well, God's inviting you. By the way, salvation is not about getting what you can out of Jesus and living your life. Salvation is about switching sides.
Right.
Converting to Christ. Like was preached last week, taking his yoke upon you. Becoming a Christian. Walking with him. Being on his side. Accepting whatever comes with him, including his reproach. Including embarrassment, including poverty, or including persecution, or including insults. Yeah. It could even include irrelevance. You might just be irrelevant to everybody in the world. You just go on Christ's side and everybody thinks, he's irrelevant. All right. All right, one more thing here. You are choosing your side.
That's right.
Today. Either way, you are choosing. You see, because if you don't step up and say, I'm going to get on God's side, whatever God says, I'm going to completely commit myself to the Lord Jesus Christ and God's side, to the Bible, to follow him, to live for him. If you don't make that clear decision today to say, I'm going to follow God no matter what, according to his word, you have made the decision not to. You are making a decision. You young people, you're making decisions. You think, well, I'm not old enough to make those. Yeah, you are. You're making the decisions right now. Are you going to be on God's side or not? You're making the decision. And let me tell you something, young people, I don't care how young you think you are, you could die. You could die tomorrow, and you've made a decision. A whole lot of people don't get that decision, but you've got it. You could make a decision today. I'm going to be on God's side. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do what God says. I want to obey God. Isn't it amazing? So does God have a side? Yeah, he does. Which side are you on? Just which side are you on? Have you decided to follow God? You know, it's amazing to me how people are so indecisive. They're so half-hearted about everything they do. They don't realize that God is expecting you to switch sides. Get up out of that rut you're in and come over to God's side. Come over and give yourself to Jesus Christ. Be committed to Him. Be a Christian. Whatever comes with that, that's fine. But be on God's side, because if you're on God's side, you have eternal life. Jesus Christ says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus said, "This is the will of the Father that sent me, that whosoever cometh to me, believeth in me, I will raise him up at the last day, and I will lose nothing." Amen. It's about getting on God's side. Which side are you on? Young man, which side are you on? Young woman, which side are you on? Old man, what side are you on? Amen. Make a decision. Amen. Because you are making a decision one way or the other. Let's pray. Before we close in prayer,